Díomh agus fáilte go dtí cléir eile gan cumann lúta a scéal na seachtain a show with me, Tom Cormack, as always, on a Wednesday night. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio tonight by a Galway man and a Limerick man. Ray Durick is the Galway man, of course, former Burt player, former Donegal player, and of course, now St. Junan's clubman. And the Limerick man is Letterkenny stalwart Dan Hartnett. Dan and Ray, a very good night to you.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, Tom.
And delighted to have you on board. And of course, we have Dan and Ray in studio tonight because, of course, it's the big showcase of the year in hurling. It's the All Ireland Senior Hurling Championship, and it's Galway bidding for back-to-back titles for the first time ever. And well, Limerick are hoping to win one for the first time in 45 years. We'll talk to Dan and Ray about that. We'll talk about a little bit about their own background as well and their own early memories as well. But first tonight, we begin on a sad note, and the death of a great GA stalwart and a great Gaelgore in the Rosses and in Dunloe yesterday morning with the sad passing of Dom Boner on the Guido Road. Of course, Dom, former player with Dunloe in the 40s, indeed, in a period probably when Dunloe were dominated somewhat by Guido. He often told great stories of great battles with the arch rivals, but he played for many, many years, may have won an all-county league with them as well, but he was also involved, highly involved in the club, and particularly at St. Cronin's National School, where he promoted the game and Cumann na Munscoil during his time teaching and principal there. Dom died, as I said, peacefully in Dunloe Hospital on Tuesday morning. He was 95 after a long period of illness, so he's been currently waked at his home on the Guido Road, and he's going to be laid to rest on Friday in after 12 noon mass in St. Cronin's Church or Cemetery. So yes, Jager O'Annam, a great Gael gone, but that's the way life must move on, and it's All-Ireland Hurling Final weekend, and as I said, I'm joined by Ray Durick and Dan Hartnett. Ray, we had you here last year, obviously, and Galway were bidding for that title after so many years. They won it, they're back again this year, so looking forward to maybe creating another little bit of history.
Definitely, Tom. You know, I think this is a game that everybody in the country is looking forward to now, you know, because Galway have to go out and prove that they're a good team. You know, it takes a good team to go out and defend your title. You have Limerick chomping at their bit to take the title off them, you know, so I think this is going to be one cracker of a game.
And I think, Dan, as well, and we'll talk about Limerick as well, but I think why people are so, everybody's talking about this game, even people from non-hurling county. I think it's the impression that, you know, the standard of hurling we've seen, particularly in the quarterfinals and the semi-finals this year.
Well, even in the qualifiers, both the Leinster and Munster Championship, the quality of the hurling was second to none. And as Ray, we were talking earlier, was saying, like, you know, when you watched any of them games, it was very hard to go back and watch a game of football afterwards. The speed and intensity and the skill level of all the teams. I mean, it's Galway and Limerick in the final. In my opinion, it could be any of six teams. And I'd include Tipperary as one of those six.
And they went out very early.
They went out very early. Yet, like, there was only a puck of a ball in any of their games. They could have gone, and they could be in the final on Sunday, to be honest about it.
So is the new system, it was a new championship format this year, is it a success?
Probably needs a bit of tweaking. Of course it was a success, but I do believe that, and maybe I'm looking at it from a Limerick point of view, but Kilkenny had the same problem. The fact that you were playing every week had a big impact on teams. And for instance, Limerick's third game against that, it was their third Sunday in a row against Clare in Innes, and I feel that had an impact. But in saying that, it can be looked at, I'm sure, and I'm sure that the powers that be will look at this and probably have maybe a slight break between the games, because you know, there were some teams that played four Sundays in the trot. You know, it's an amateur sport, and the intensity that them games were played at, there just wasn't enough recovery time for teams, to be honest with you, in my opinion.
That's a very good point. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Dan, first of all, tell us a little bit about your background. What part of Limerick?
I come from a small club in Limerick called Turnafalla. It's on the Cork Kerry border. Population of between men, women and children of around 800 people. And until very recently, we played senior hurling in Limerick for over 40 years. We've gone down a grade now. But
well, it's a rural area, obviously.
It's a very rural area, very rural and sparsely populated. Lots of bog town down there, like you'd pass.
And you're in the You're in the middle of the Golden Vale, literally, or on the edge of it, are you?
Well, we wouldn't know. You see, there aren't too many hills or mountains in Limerick, but we happen to be on top of the only one that's there. The Golden Vale is a bit further down the county from us now, to be honest about it.
And tell me, in terms of great players from the club, have you produced many countrymen down the years?
Well, I suppose, unfortunately, our last connection to All-Ireland winning teams is 1973, and the goalkeeper on that team was a man by the name of Seamus Horgan from Turnafulla. Yeah. Still going well and still coaching hurling.
Yeah. I thought you had to be Quaid to play for Limerick in goals.
Quaid didn't come until after Horgan, now.
And that was 73.
That was 73, yes.
Were you at it, a young boy, in short trousers?
I was a very young boy. I think I was in my father's arms. I was there, actually, unfortunately. I do remember it.
Yeah.
I remember 73 very fondly. I remember 74, 80, 94, 96 and 2007 when we have reached All-Ireland finals and lost all five.
Yeah.
So hopefully on Sunday, with a wee bit of luck, things will change and it won't be six in the trot.
Yeah, because there have been some spectacular losses, I suppose. What was it, 95 or 6 to Offaly? That was
94 to Offaly was a real sickener. Five pints up with 6 minutes to go.
Johnny Dooley was it, or Joe
had a free to extend it. Gary Kirby would normally put it over in his sleep, missed the free, ball pucked down the field. Offaly were out on their feet. You could see they were dead, completely dead, buried. Ball went in, flick, goal. Keeper, another Quaid. Rush of blood to the head, decided to puck it out quick, even though they were still leading. Puck it out, caught, bang, straight into the net. And Offaly went down and won it by 7 points, was it? Or 7 points.
Yeah, I remember listening to that on the radio. It was sensational, really. They were going up the steps for the cup.
Actually, before Gary Kirby missed the free, there were two boys sitting beside me, two Offaly boys, and shook my hand and said, "Well done, congratulations, good All Ireland."
Yeah.
And left the ground.
Yeah. And tell me, Limerick have won what many? Is it seven? Is it
seven All Irelands? Yes.
Yeah.
Three of those came in the '30s, which. Probably there's no doubt about it, the best hurler that ever was, Mick Mackey, that led that team.
Yeah, tell us about him. What's a legendary? Obviously, you never saw him playing.
I never saw him playing, but I did meet the man, actually, at county board meetings. He was a very civil, soft-spoken individual, loved his hurling, played a bit of football as well, won 16 county senior hurling medals with his home club, Ahan. And I think it was five or six football medals.
Right.
Kind of played a bit
hurling,
of football.
Limerick is such a sporting county, isn't it, really? You have hurling, you have football, Gaelic football, you have soccer and you have rugby, sure is.
Well, soccer and rugby would be very big in the city now. The city would be a big population in the city, and yet you'd only have four or five hurling clubs in the city. The stronghold of hurling would be East and South Limerick.
And the football is in West Limerick, is it?
Most of the football would be in West Limerick, Towards Kerry, yes.
But strangely, I think that part of Kerry is probably a hurling country.
It is. Strangely enough, North Kerry would be, is apart from Kinmare, would be where most of the hurling is played in Kerry.
Tell me, growing up as a boy, who was the boyhood heroes for you in hurling?
Well, the boyhood heroes, of course, would have been Mackey.
Yeah.
And
he was around the Christy Ring era, was he, or a bit before?
Before Ring. I don't think they ever actually played one another. If they did, Mackey would have been finished just as Ring was coming onto the scene. As such,
Where did he play?
Mick Mackey played centre forward, and he was be one of the first men that decided that instead of hitting the ball, that you run with it. And he believed in running through you instead of around you. He was a big, strong, bulky man.
Yeah.
And himself and his brother John John usually played full forward and Mick centre forward. And Mick, when he got the ball, just ran straight through you.
Right, yeah. And he did he win an All-Ireland?
He won three All-Irelands.
Right.
And seemingly, I wasn't there at that time. They're saying that he was very unlucky that he didn't win at least two more.
Yeah, and looking back at the records, Limerick seemed to disappear, because I remember growing up as a boy, you know, you never heard much of Limerick in the late 50s, early 60s.
The only team was Mackey won his last All-Ireland in 1940, and Limerick didn't win another one then until 73, which was their last All-Ireland winning. But the only team that nearly got through was a team called Mackey's Greyhounds.
Right.
He managed the 56 team.
Oh, there's a connotation there that obviously they were pretty fit.
They were fit and fast, but unfortunately, they that would have been. You spoke earlier of the Quaids, the famous Quaid brothers, twin brothers, Jim and Jack, were on that 56 team actually, but not in goals. No, Tom. The goalies came to pass, but both of them were played on that team, but. No, Limerick did not feature, and Cork dominated, of course, the 40s, 50s, and
that was Ring.
That was Ring, and Tipperary kind of took over. And I mean, look, this year it's a very unusual situation that Limerick have beaten Tipperary, Cork, and Kilkenny.
And haven't
still
won.
Still haven't won anything.
Because they didn't win Munster.
Didn't win Munster. Didn't qualify for the Munster final. And hopefully Sunday we'll rectify the other end of it. Yeah. But it's the first time in history that Cork, Tipperary and Kilkenny have been beaten by one team, and that the silverware isn't already on the mantelpiece.
I had a friend one time from Tipperary, and he says Limerick and Clare were Tipperary's despair. So it didn't happen too often. You were telling me a great story beforehand, and I actually heard it before, of a final, was it, and a famous Babs Keaton free, late free.
That was the Munster final of 71, and it was a bad wet day in Killarney, a bad day. And that time, same as with the football, of course, the when the rain fell, the slither got heavy, and it was like a lump of lead eventually. But towards the end of the game, Tipperary got a 21-yard free. There was no metres that time, we were still in yards, I think.
Yeah.
And Babs was the free taker, famous Babs, without the boots and the socks. And Donie Nealon, he was a great selector.
Yeah, great football, great hurler in his time.
Himself. I'm not sure, he was a selector, I'm not sure whether he was county secretary at the time or not, I wouldn't swear to that now, but I know he was a selector. And he came in with a towel, by the way, to dry the hurley for Babs to take this free. So dropped the dry slither on the ground.
He had a slither dropped up
in the towel, dropped the towel, dropped the dry slither, picked up the wet one and walked off.
Yeah. Was that not allowed, was it?
Of course it wasn't allowed. You couldn't change the ball unless the referee allowed it, unless it went out of play.
I'm sure it's been used many the time since, has it? Or do they keep an eye on the towel now?
Well, see, the slither that's there now doesn't affect it now.
Yeah.
And Babs stuck the ball in the back of the net, and then Limerick won, or Tipperary won by a point, and went on to beat Kilkenny by 3 points, I think, in the All-Ireland final. But certainly it's felt in Limerick that was one All-Ireland. It was certainly
ours. Yeah, and because probably that could have, if they had won that one, they could have probably, because as you said, they had the one in 73 and the lost 74, was it in what, 70?
They lost, they won it in 73, lost to Kilkenny in 74, and lost to Tipperary in the Munster final in 71, and in 72, they probably too cocky, went down to Clare in the first round and were beating out the gate in Innes.
Who were the big men on 73? Who were the
big men would be the Hattigan brothers and the Binnesses, I suppose, would be the main one. Eamon Cregan.
Eamon Grimes, was there an Eamon Grimes?
Eamon Grimes, yes, captained the team from South Liberties. Eamon Cregan was probably one of the best corner forwards that ever played hurling, to be honest about it. And for some unknown reason, which worked, the selectors decided to play him centre back against Kilkenny in the 73.
From corner forward to centre half back.
Centre half back. and he had a field day. Field day.
Right. Yeah.
And Richie he Bennis. Went on. Richie Binnister.
He used to take the frees, was it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He managed them to that All Ireland in 19.
No, Phil, that was his brother Phil, who was also on that 73 team. Actually, yeah. Phil Binnister was a halfback, small man.
Yeah.
Richie managed them in 2007.
Yeah. That's the voice of Dan Hartnett, Letterkenny Gaels clubman, and of course you know by the accent and you know by his fervour for Limerick hurling. He's a Limerick man as well, and he's with me tonight. So too is Ray Jurek, of course, no stranger to Highland Radio, former Donegal manager, former Burt player and manager, and indeed an All-Ireland winner with Galway Vocational Schools way back. We won't ask you the year, Ray, but you have one All-Ireland anyway.
I have two, Tom.
Yeah.
Back in 81, 82.
Yeah. Playing the Vocational School was a big competition that time.
Yeah, that was a big competition, yeah. The last year I played in it, I think they were going for nine in a row. The Galway Vocational Schools were going for nine in a row, so...
Right, you know, well, there was obviously some players that went on to play for... We maybe even win in All Ireland on that team, was there?
Well, Tony Keady, God rest him, would have been on it in 81. Pete Finnerty, Jerry McInerney would have been playing in 82 when I was there, like, you know. So
yeah,
all these guys went on and had great success with Galway, you know. So I didn't hang around. I immigrated in 86 because of the recession.
Or migrated or immigrated.
Well, I immigrated to London, you know, so.
Yeah.
Done most of my hurling over there.
Did you play for London?
I didn't play for London, no. I played for St Gabriel's. That was a big Galway club over there, so.
Yeah.
Would have played against a load of Limerick boys over there, like, you know, there was no love lost either over there, like, you know, so. But, no, look at growing up in my childhood, like, you know, I remember the 1980 final as well, like, you know, the battle between Joe McKenna and Niall McInerney, like, you know, that always sticks out in my mind because there was
Joe McKenna was it was that was awfully that was he was an awfully man.
He was Limerick
playing for Limerick.
Yeah,
he was a big man.
Oh, he was a big man, and the battle between him and Joe and Niall McInerney, like, you know, that was just to watch on its own, like, because they were constantly just battling one another, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But 1980.
That was a great team.
A great team, but that was a great Limerick team too. You know, back in the 1980s, you know, and.
Who would have been the big name on the Limerick team that time? Well, McKenna was
Joe
obviously.
Joe McKenna and Eamon Cregan, you know, and who else had been there that time?
Sean Foley.
He was a great halfback, was he?
Sean Foley, yeah.
He was a halfback, wasn't he? That's right, yeah. And tell me, you're Portum, isn't it?
I'm Portum, yeah.
That's the great Joe Canning.
That's the great Joe Canning and Mike Denver. So, you know, we have hurlers and musicians. So. the Canning family, like, you know, they're just an exceptional family, you know, since I can remember, all his brothers and sisters.
And there's Ollie and Joe.
There's Ollie and Joe and Davy and Frankie and Seamus.
And they've all played, have they, for Galway?
And they have. And their sister, one sister, Deirdre, she played camogie for Galway.
Hmm.
Their father would have played, their uncle Frankie would have played for Galway for years, you know. So it's just in their blood, like, you know, and they're just an exceptional
He's a fantastic
family.
Hurler, isn't he?
You know, he's...
On the scale of, say... You know, you're talking about the rings. We mentioned Ring, Mackey. Obviously, you never saw them. You know, Eddie Carey, I suppose, DJ Carey, you know, the king himself, Henry.
You know, Joe would be up there, you know, with Henry and DJ, you know. Maybe he's matured a wee bit more now and he's getting a wee bit more physical. Like, you know, opposition players are getting more physical with him. Like, so he has to stand up to that. Like, you know, before he was always, you know, kind of a nice hurler, you know.
Yeah.
But if you...
He's getting mature.
He's mature, like, you know, when he's getting battle-hardened.
He's
getting
cranky too, though, isn't he?
But that's... You need that.
with the supporters.
John Vial.
Yeah. But the thing is, too, you know, Tom, I suppose, you know, the way media portrays Galway hurling, like, you know, Galway had always been a nearly team, you know.
Yeah.
Played in five All-Irelands, got beaten up to last year, you know, and nearly won and...
Yeah, we forget too that those players took a big stand, you know, didn't they? It's a couple of years ago, and they actually got rid of a manager who had brought them to All Ireland.
Well, that's it too, you know, and you know, sometimes player power works, you know, and you know, you have to work with a manager as a man. So you don't work for him; you have to work with him, you know. And you know, maybe it paid off.
It could have gone the other way too.
It could have gone the other way, like, you know, and
Because there's bound to be bad feeling in certain...
Look, I think in every county there's bad feeling with managers and selectors, you know, that goes on in every... Yeah. I think in every sport, like, you know, if you look at the Cork team, like, you know, when they went to strike...
And they went on and won an Ireland.
They went on, you know, it's up to the players themselves, you know, and I've said it, like, you know, if you manage a team, you're just there to organise them, you know.
They play
the way they want to play, like, you know, and if they feel, you know, that they can win in Ireland... Let them do it, like, you know.
Come here, just let's let that diversify for a minute. We had the two county semi-finals here on Saturday evening. We had Setanta, who have a quality team, you know, a crack team, and St. Junan's, an up-and-coming team, and we had Burton McCools. What did you make of them?
And there were two good games, Tom, you know, as I said to you when we chatted during the week, that I felt like that was going to be Burton Setanta, you know, and... you know, there could have been two upsets again on Saturday, you know, if things had went right for both McCools and St. Eunan's. Like, McCools really came out all guns blazing and put Burt to the sword straight away, like, you know, and it took them a long time to get the feel of the game, like, you know, and they had to rely on the likes of maybe bring along Kieran Dowds and the old heads, like, you know, to settle them, like, you know. Eunan's were the same, like, you know, I thought they really put it up to Setanta, you know, and... Maybe if they had a wee bit more firepower up front, they could have taken Setanta, you know. So,
and they're a pretty young team, aren't
they? They're a
young
team. They're an up-and-coming team, you know. And it's good to see it.
That's Ray Jurek, of course, our hurling analyst here on Highland Radio, and former Donegal. But Donegal had a good year as well, hadn't they?
Donegal is a great year, Tom, you know, and it's great to see it. And long may it continue now. They're up, hopefully, increase the ring next year, you know, and try and get up there.
How far away are we from Galway and from...
Well, Tom,
you know, they're sending a satellite to the sun. I think it's going to get within a half a million miles of it, or something.
I tell you, Tom, me and you would probably be sitting up in that satellite looking down by the time I think Donegal hurdens up that. You know, and it's no fault of the players, like, you know, but I think it's the system as well. Like, you know, you could have this debate again about these so-called weaker counties. You know, like, there's no such thing as a weaker county. Everybody can play hurling. You know, hurler up here, I always kept telling my players was. Hurler up here is the same as a hurler in Kilkenny. You know, they do the same job, to socialise the same way, like, you know, it's just that they do it, you know.
It's religion.
It's religion, like, you know, and that's it, you know, and you just have to, you know, it's there's no weaker counties on, and it's, you know, I think when Croke Park looked more into, you know, they should be pumping money into, you know, these so-called weaker counties, you know, and Dan, I know, like, you know, down in Kerry, you know, three senior hurling clubs, like, and these guys can go up and compete in Lee McCarthy, like, you know. So, what's the difference between Kerry and Donegal?
Yeah, you have actually more clubs. That's Ray Jurek there. We're okay. I thought we had an ad break to take, but we haven't. We'll carry on. Anyway, it's a Sunday. Okay. Galway, the champions, going to be the favourites, are they?
Well, they're probably favourites, Tom, definitely. But, you know, sometimes it's better to be the underdog. Big pressure, I suppose. All the pressure is going to be on Galway now to defend their title, and you know, coming off the back of two hard semi-final games, you know, and scraping through the second time. You know, the pressure is on them. Like, you know, Limerick are going to have, they're going to come up. They've nothing to lose. Like, they've got an All-Ireland final, as Tom says. They've come through beating some of the big teams, no silverware, so they're going to be feeling quietly confident, you know, and coming up there just nice and low under the radar and keep the pressure on Galway, like, you know.
Galway just not firing this year. Sorry, that's not true to say that, because, you know, they've come out against Clare, and they've come out, you know, in the last couple of games, and really, you know, and then, you know, ran up big margins, and then got caught, almost got caught.
That was typical Galway down to the years, Tom. You know, play for 40 minutes. You know, it didn't matter whether they were winning or losing, 40, 50 minutes, take the foot off the pedal, like, and the teams come at them. But the last couple of years now, Tom, Galway are playing hurling like Kilkenny. They're playing a Kilkenny side of hurling. That's the way I think they're doing it. You know, they've got more physical. They're in your face. They're hunting in packs, giving you no time on the ball, really punishing you. But they're playing for 70 minutes now. Like, you know, even if Clare went ahead the last day, they still pegged it back and went ahead again. Like, you know, so, you know, I think it's going to be a cracker of a final. You know, there's not going to be much in it. And I think spectators are in for one hell of a game.
And Dan, Limerick, talk to me about Limerick. Obviously, they've had great success, particularly at under 21. So there's a lot of talent, but there was a maybe feeling that maybe they'd missed the boat with some of that talent.
Well, you see, it's back in the early 2000s, 2000 to 2001, 2002, they won three under-21 All-Irelands on the trot, and that didn't bring any success. So under-21 titles isn't a guarantee that you have success. But this group of players, a lot of them have been together in development squads, and they have been developed from 14 up to now when they're 22, 23 kind of thing. And but obviously Galway are going to be raging hot favourites, have to be raging hot favourites, for the simple reason that if you spoke to anyone that knows anything at all about hurling at the start of the year, Limerick wouldn't going to be at the races at all.
But having said that, having watched them, a lot of people would have changed their mind.
Well, from being also runs, we're now told that they have the best panel in the country. Not the best team, but the best panel.
Well, the best panels normally win.
Well,
especially in the modern game.
I'd be hoping they will anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And John Kiely, obviously, because a bit, you know, Limerick have used a lot of managers down the years, and they've chopped and changed. And
well, again, like Galway, a lot of politics in hurling in Limerick as well, unfortunately.
Politics in Gaelic games.
Well, Gaelic politics anyway, and managers being forced out and that sort of thing. And I think Kyle is a cool, calm, collective individual and knows his stuff, and hopefully he'll do.
And who are the big men for Limerick? The young Galan is mentioned a lot. He's the top scorer, isn't it?
He is, yeah.
He is. He's only, 18, 19?
19, I think. Yes. Yeah. Kyle Hayes, 19, centre forward.
Keane Lynch.
20, yeah.
You know, and he's, what, Kieran Carey's nephew.
Yeah,
you know,
Shane Dolan, 24 or 5, and he's the daddy.
Yeah. Will they match Galway for physicality? Because Galway have got very physical. What do you think, Ray?
I think they will, Tom. You know, but if they can keep it going for 70 minutes, you know, like Galway now, that battle hardens. You know, and the thing about it, you know, a lot of these Galway boys have played in All Ireland finals now for the last. Some of them have played in 5 All Ireland finals. You know. And they've won and they've lost. They know what's expected of them. And I just think, like, that hopefully that the occasion won't get to Limerick. You know, you're standing there, 84,000 people.
Galway men have sympathy for Limerick.
Well, I won't have sympathy for them, like, you know, come Sunday. Like, but that's the way it is. Like, you know, I just hope that I reflect back to the year Waterford played Kilkenny.
Yeah.
You know. That I think the occasion just got to Waterford that day, and they were just completely blown out of the water, like, you know. And everybody was chatting about this Waterford team, like, you know, and John Milan and Brick Walsh and Dan Shannon and all these fellas, like, that, like, they just totally imploded, you know. So but then again, these Limerick fellas, they've all been there under 21 finals, you know, and they know what pressure is like, you know. A young team, you know, and John Kiely will have them well. Marshall, you know,
what's the word from home, Dan? Is there much hype about it?
There's a lot of hype, of course. There's always hype, but he has tried to steer him away from the hype. And I think that, you know, the fear in Limerick is that they're a young team. It's the first time there that might get to him, but hopefully.
Dan Hartnett and Ray Jurdick, unfortunately, the clock has caught up to us. My thanks to them tonight. Thanks to Paul McDivitt on sound, from me, Tom Comick, and Gian Shockton, Johuggins, Donegal, Bannock.